The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, I'm sure some of you might have seen this tweet that is after going viral about this chap who's coming back to visit from the United States. He wanted to rent a car for 3 weeks in July from Dublin Airport, and he was quoted 10,000 euro. Motoring journalist Geraldine Herbert is with me now. Geraldine, what gives?
Well, I tell you, Kieran, I can actually go one better. I saw another tweet for 7 days in July at over 4,000.
For a week. $4,000 for a week.
4,148 for 7 days.
I mean, what kind of car were they renting?
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd nearly think you could buy a car for that. Yeah, essentially what we have here is just a classic supply, very little supply, very huge demand. So it goes back to March 2020, which so many things in our lives do at the moment. So when travel shut down, car rental companies basically sold off most of their fleet in order to just survive. Now when they try and replenish that stock, second-hand car prices have gone through the roof because of the global chip shortage. New cars are in short supply. So we have all of these, you know, these people excitedly returning to travel and very limited number of cars, and we have these crazy prices.
So what happens in the short term? People are just going to have to endure the prices? I mean, is there an indication or signs that these car companies are ramping up their manufacturing, or can they?
No, I mean, this is expected to continue for the foreseeable future in the same way that the global chip shortage, there's a bit of a breakthrough with it at the moment, but it's still expected to persist till the end of the year. The only thing is, Kieran, I did a bit of digging myself, and I suppose the old adage of shop around still holds true. You know, there are really high prices. We know that. The average seems to be that people are quoting, certainly on Twitter at the moment, about 500 a day, which is like just crazy, as I said, crazy prices. But I had a look at skyscanner.ie. Now, this is a comparison website. They do car hire, but they do flights and hotels as well. And I actually managed to get, I didn't obviously book it, but I managed to get a car for a week in July, a VW Polo for 743 euros.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's a lot less than the $4,000 you mentioned earlier. So there is value out there to be had if people shop around.
Yeah, there is. Now, having said that, I also checked Spain, France and the UK just to see how we compare. And Spain is obviously the cheapest place to hire a car, and everywhere else was cheaper than Ireland. But that said, I mean, that is not, you know, 743 is a far cry from 500. So I would say shop around. The other thing as well is the size of the car matters. So if you can make do with a hatchback, do, and don't bother with your SUVs, because whatever's the most popular is going to be the most expensive. The other thing as well is, of course, you know, the earlier you can book a car, the better. But also, collecting at the airport is always the most expensive option. Now, I know Dublin Airport isn't the best served in terms of public transport, but if you can collect somewhere else rather than the airport, you will actually notice a drop in prices. So there are a few things you can do. You're not stuck with those ridiculous prices.
Okay, so shop around, and as you say, they're kind of little simple things, although maybe they're not simple in terms of application getting out of Dublin Airport, but there's things you can do to drive down the cost. That shortage, though, that lack of supply and that increased demand, I mean, how is it manifesting itself in other areas? Like company cars, for example. I heard of somebody recently who took up a new job and was told they'd have to wait a year to pick up their company car.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing the stories about second-hand cars being actually, you know, actually more valuable at the moment than new cars, and you'd get more money for them. So you can see that's the big issue at the moment.
I heard, Geraldine, I think I said this. I heard
of people cars, so that's impacting all of these sectors.
I heard of people flipping Teslas. That somebody who had ordered their Tesla 18 months ago and had it delivered now realizes that the guy who's walked in, or the girl who's walked into the forecourt behind them to order one, is going to be willing to pay kind of 20% more to get it today. Essentially, like,
I know,
it's like,
nuts.
It's like
I've
kind
heard
of
other
houses
people
in 2006.
In their driveway for the last year, and it's actually now it's worth more than what they paid for it. So they've actually made money on it. Like, the idea of a car actually appreciating in your driveway is just it's completely at odds with everything we've ever heard of before.
But we're going to have to endure. It sounds like you're saying despite this breakthrough in terms of these microchips recently, we're going to have to just live with this for the foreseeable.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, and even the breakthrough isn't being felt really. As I said, like, there is predictions that it is going to get better, but certainly till the end of the year, this is not going to improve. So we're still going to have that very long delay with new cars at the moment. And I mean, people are waiting 6-7 months. I know people who placed orders in August of last year, and they're still waiting on their new car. So that's going to impact on sales. So therefore, people are not trading up with their second-hand cars. They're holding on to those. So there is no light at the end of the tunnel at the moment, unfortunately, in that. And this is impacting on the hire car, company cars, all of those sort of fleet cars.
And is the picture uniform across the board in terms of manufacturers? Are you know, the delays being felt more acutely with some cars rather than others?
Yeah, what we are seeing at the moment is a lot of manufacturers are prioritising luxury cars and the more expensive cars because obviously they're the ones that they're making more money on. So where really the shortfall is, your cheaper lower end of the market is you're going to actually wait quite a long time for those cars. Some electric cars have been more impacted than others, particularly as well with the Ukraine crisis. That's also thrown in a new problem as well because a lot of the wiring that's used in electric cars came from the Ukraine. I wasn't even aware of this until the war, and they haven't replaced those supplies. Chains. So that's impacting on electric cars. So that's actually on top of the global chip shortage crisis. Mm. So it's not good news at all if you're waiting on a new car at the moment. But if you're waiting on a sort of, you know, cheaper, more moderately priced one, you might even be waiting longer.
Well, and I assume then that compounds the problem when it comes to the secondhand car market. You know, if it's the lower end new cars that are not being manufactured at scale, then the demand again for those secondhand cars, which is already kind of squeezed, goes up.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Ciarán. So you can see that, and that's the big problem at the moment. So, you know, if you're at the top end of the market and you're waiting for the premium luxury car, the chances are you're waiting less time than anybody else. So,
all right. One listener here says €4,000 a week. They can have mine for the week. The future might be in car, Airbnb. Somebody else offering to drive that American around in their own car if they'll pay them $10,000, and the American might save a few bob. Geraldine, my thanks for your time. Geraldine Herbert, the motoring journalist there on that global shortage of new cars, be it microchips, COVID or whatever it happens to be. It's being felt right across the board and lots of our listeners feeling it as well. 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.